The continuation of the Bible series, I request each one of us to have your Bibles open as the sermon notes are being passed around. We are continuing from the book of Exodus. I don't know how many of us have read the book of Exodus in the past or who are reading now. I hope this is helping us to really study God's word and understand the whole counsel of God throughout the Bible. The whole counsel of God, just like we have meditated during the worship time as well, the story of Abraham ready to sacrifice his one and only son whom he loved, Isaac, is a shadow or a symbolism of what God the Father has done in sacrificing his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who came down into this world to give his life. That is how we understand the whole counsel of God, how the Old Testament explains what happened in the New Testament. Exodus also is an amazing book that we are learning through. We have come up to chapter 24, Exodus chapter 24. And today we are going to continue from that portion, God willing, till the end of this book. For today's portion, we will read one verse from the Old Testament and one verse from the New Testament. Please do join with me in reading these two verses. From Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, all together, please, you can fill in accordingly as well the words. Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, all together, please. Shall we read this? And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. This is what God is speaking to Moses, saying, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. What a wonderful God we have. Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, all together, please. Our fathers had the tabernacle of testimony in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern which he had seen. According to the pattern which he had seen, not just heard. According to the pattern, he gave a vision of how the tabernacle should be like. Tabernacle in the wilderness is the sermon that is titled for today. A few weeks ago, we have meditated upon the table in the wilderness. Can God put a table in the wilderness? Yes. Can God provide a tabernacle in the wilderness? And the answer is yes. Tabernacle experience is our experience on this earth. While we are still on this earth, having been redeemed, having gone through the experience of salvation, born again experience and baptism, which are the Passover and the crossing of the Red Sea, we enter into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, we go through so many troubles and trials in our life. Wilderness experience, no wonder, it is so clear. Wilderness means a desert. It is dry land. You don't get the things that you expect to have. But God is a God who is promising a land flowing with milk and honey. That is coming up. But before that, there is a wilderness experience you and I need to go through. Remember that. When you are going through sufferings in your life, remember how these people of Israel were going through wilderness. From Exodus, we have looked primarily first 12 chapters when people of Israel were in Egypt. And then from 12 onwards, all the way we came over to chapter 19, where they reach the Mount Sinai, how God has promised Moses, saying that you will come back to this mountain. So they come to this Mount Sinai. And from chapter 19 all the way till 24, we saw how the covenant was made. How people have agreed to the covenants. Whatever the Lord says, we will do. And Moses goes up and tells God, and God comes back and gives the commandments. And finally, there is a final agreement of the covenant. And that is where we stopped. And I was mentioning during this time how Moses went up and down the mountain. He was an 80-year-old man.
He went up and down the mountain. You call that mountaineering or trekking? What is the term that you use? Going up the mountain, coming down, hiking. Yes. So here we see how God gave him physical strength in order to be able to experience spiritual life with God. First time, chapter 19. In chapter 19, verse 3, Moses went up to God. Verse 7, Moses came. Just I wanted to give you a reference to this. In again chapter 19, Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Most likely he went up because in verse 14 it says, he went down from the mountain. You see that? And then the third time, Moses went up in chapter 19, verse 20. And then God says, go down and come up again. What is this, Lord? How many times should I go down and up and up and down? What is this? God is giving him instructions. And in chapter 20 to 23, chapter 20 again, Moses approached the thick cloud that was on the mountain. Chapter 24 also, God says in verse 1, come up to the Lord. And Moses goes. And then he speaks to God and Moses came to the people again. Chapter 24 and verse 3. That is how there is so much that we see how Moses went up and down and up and down. And finally, the covenant was made. God speaks to Moses in chapter 24 and verse 12. We'll pick up the portion from there. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, verse 12, come up to me again. Chapter 24 and verse 12. Come up to me again onto the mountain and remain there. Notice this. There is something that God is telling for Moses to remain there. And I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction, which I have written. God has written the law and commandments on stone. And later we see in the new covenant, God has written the law onto our hearts that were stony hearts. He changed our hearts in order to be able to experience the law that is written on our hearts. In here we see Exodus chapter 24, I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Finally Moses went up, probably Joshua was on the way or in between. But we see here that he goes up to the mountain. Verse 15, Moses went up to the mountain. And in verse 14 he says, wait for us until we return to you. So Joshua was not with the people. He was not on the mountain with Moses. He could be in between. He could be because Moses alone went up to the mountain in verse 15. But he says to the elders, wait for us until we return to you. Behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. So Moses goes onto a mission onto the mountain, but he tells Aaron and Hur, the ones who held the hand of Moses when the Amalekites were there fighting against, whenever Moses' hand was up, Joshua was winning the battle. God was using him to win the battle. And Moses' hands were heavy, so Aaron and Hur held the hands of Moses. Those were the great men. According to the Moses' responsibility that was given, he gave the responsibility to Aaron and Hur in the absence of Moses. Why? We will see that later. Verse 16, notice this very carefully, my dear. Exodus chapter 24, verse 16. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. What a wonderful experience that is. The glory of the Lord rested on the mountain. I love this statement. What is this glory? We will study about this as we keep moving on. But this is one of the focuses about this experience in Exodus is the glory of the Lord. So note it down. In chapter 24, we see here the glory of the Lord on the mountain. Chapter 24, note it down. Chapter 24, glory of the Lord on the mountain. There is something unique that we see here. Verse 16, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. Cloud covered it for 6 days. The glory of the Lord was there. The cloud covered it. On the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. Moses was waiting. Glory of the Lord. He was aghast. He was surprised. He could not go near as well because the glory of the Lord was on the mountain for 6 days. That is the experience of the glory of the Lord. And then on the seventh day, the Lord called Moses from the midst of the cloud. And these people who were at the foot of the mountain, they had a view of what was going on. Verse 17, the eyes of the sons of Israel, to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. The glory of the Lord appeared as a consuming fire on the mountain, my dear. God is expecting the fact that whenever there is a glory of God, it is a consuming fire. The things that are not needed has to be totally consumed in fire. Like a burning bush experience. The fire was there, but the thing could not, the bush did not burn, but everything else surrounding was like a holy ground. That was the experience that he had. He see here the glory of the Lord. Verse 18, Moses entered the midst of the cloud and he went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights he was on the Mount Sinai, where the glory of the Lord was there. He experienced the wondrous glory of the Lord on the mountain. Chapter 25 to chapter 31 is what we are going to look at. And here we see, we read it earlier. So note it down, the next block here, the pattern of the tabernacle. The pattern of the tabernacle. We read those verses earlier in the sermon notes also. It's there. In Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8 and 9. Let them make me a sanctuary for me that I may dwell among them. God wanted. God always had a desire to dwell among his people, my dear. His desire has always been that, whether it was in the Garden of Eden or in this book of Exodus chapter 25. In the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the evening, God used to spend time with Adam and Eve. Such was a wonderful experience. There was a Garden of Eden on the earth, but God was coming and spending time, conversing with them, dwelling with them, in other words, to have a fellowship or the communion with the people. And that was lost because of the sin that entered the mankind. They were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. But God is a God who is a gracious God. His desire is always to dwell among his people. I want to dwell among my people. That is what he said. For that, he said, let them build me a sanctuary. And he gives instructions as to how they should do that in verse chapter 25. He says, let them raise a contribution for me. From every man, verse 2, every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. God is telling Moses to raise a contribution from among the people whose heart God moves in him. Where did they get all this from? Verse 3 onwards, gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet. Where did they get all this from? If you read chapter 12 and 13 chapters where people of Israel were coming out of Egypt, the people of Egypt gave away all their gold, silver, and everything and said, get out from here. Take away our things also. Don't be here. So they carried all that gold, silver, and bronze with them. And they thought it was all for them. God made the people of Egypt to bring over that gold, silver, and bronze. Why? So that he would use that for the tabernacle. He could have said, give me everything. But he said, I have given to these people. They did not earn it. They have gotten it from the people of Egypt. Now I want to see their heart, whether they are going to give them as a contribution for the building of the tabernacle. It is God who provided them. Now he's saying in verse 2, from every man whose heart moves him, you shall raise my contribution. To give to the Lord. God is testing these people. He is sanctifying these people to the extent of not just always receiving bread, receiving water, Now the time has come for them to give back unto the Lord. And this is a very controversial thing. Some people don't want to even mention that. But biblically speaking, God spoke to Moses to tell the people whose heart God moves, no force. But if your heart is moved to give unto the Lord, contribute it. That's what he says in verse 2. And use all that is being provided to build a sanctuary. There are hundreds of thousands of people. But each person need not give everything that they had. Maybe a little portion of all they had was enough for building the sanctuary. Though they had gotten so much out of the abundance that they received when they came out of the land of Egypt, they had to contribute a little for the building of the sanctuary. Do you see that? I'm not speaking this. Don't take my words. This is God's word. God is speaking. And let them, whosoever heart moves them, shall raise a contribution. And I want you to build for me a tabernacle. And he gives wonderful instructions here. And we look at that. The way in which he speaks about, he starts from inside out. Most of the time, we start from outside in. Our first outer courts, then brazen altar, then this, then this, then this, then this, and come to the center. When I was reading through this, God revealed this to me. The first thing God spoke in verse 10, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 10, is the Ark of the Covenant, which is the final one to most of the people go with, from the outer courts to the Ark of the Covenant. But God started from the most important one, and then he came out. This is where my presence will be there. My glory will rest on this Ark of the Covenant. And then you build. So chapter 25, 10 to 22 is Ark of the Covenant. And then the table of showbread. Then the golden lampstand. And then in chapter 26, he talks about the curtains and the veils and the doorposts. Chapter 27 is when he'll go to the bronze altar, which is outside. Then he talks about the outer courts in chapter 27 and verse 9. Then in chapter 28 and 29, he talks about the garments of the priests and how they should consecrate themselves. In chapter 30, he talks about the altar of incense and the anointing oil. And chapter 31, he talks about the skilled craftsmen. And then he talks about the sign of the Sabbath, saying, you are doing all of it, do it for 6 days. On the seventh day, you should rest, and that is a sign between you and I. Chapter 31, wow. We jumped through all these chapters, brother, you might say. If you're going to go one at a time, we might remain there. But I will share with you at a later point of time all these contents of the tabernacle today, God willing. Chapter 31 and verse 18. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. When he had finished speaking with him, God finished speaking with Moses upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. God wrote the law. God wrote the commandments. It is a testimony. It is a witness. That is how he made that covenant, saying these are the tablets of stone. With the finger of God, he wrote it on the two tablets of stone. That is how we see the 40 days and 40 nights that he spends. Chapter 25 to 31 was the time when he had the vision and the pattern of the tabernacle that God intended Moses, along with these people of Israel, to build. To build. While these 40 days were going on, I don't know which day, but chapter 32 begins with something that has happened. But before that, I want to remind each one of us the number of visits that Moses had. Today we saw chapter 24 to 32, God says, come up to me on the mountain. And then in chapter 32, verse 7, God says, go down at once. Go down immediately. We'll see why God told him to get down immediately. Chapter 32 and verse 7. And in this particular incident, when he went up and down from the mountain, there were two tablets of stone. And he spent 40 days, I put 40D there, Just as a reminder, I don't know how many days he spent on the previous, maybe a day on the same day he came up and went down. But this particular time when he went up to the mountain, he spent 40 days in chapter 24 to chapter 32. And now we are in chapter 32. Chapter 32, note down the next point. Chapter 32, only one chapter, which talks about the covenant violation. Covenant violation, the golden calf. You might have heard about this. Covenant violation. Now you are understanding the sequence of the events that are happening. Sometimes we think of a golden calf. When did it happen? Sometimes we don't remember. This is the sequential thing that we are trying to understand, the chronological way of understanding the whole counsel of God as to what was going on. He goes up to the mountain, spends 40 days and 40 nights, understands the pattern of the tabernacle. And now in chapter 32, we see in chapter 32 and verse 1, notice this carefully. Chapter 32 and verse 1, look into your Bibles. Now when people saw that Moses delayed to come from the mountain, Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. People have no patience. Moses was on the top of the mountain. He was getting the complete pattern of the tabernacle. He had to spend 40 days and 40 nights there. And these people at the foot of the mountain, they are so impatient. The people of Israel, who were redeemed from the land of Egypt, who crossed the Red Sea, who had the experience of the water and the bread from heaven, they came to the foot of the mountain. They could not wait 40 days. I don't know how long they waited within those 40 days, but they lost patience. How many times we don't have patience to wait? Moses was on the mountain. People saw that the Moses delayed to come down. Sometimes we want immediate microwave generation, they call, right? Yeah, I want instant. Instant idlis, instant food, everything instant. Instant coffee. We want everything quickly. God enables us to wait certain times. And that waiting time is not a wasting time, my dear. God makes us, tests us to see the kind of people we are. And here the people failed the test. You know what they said? First chapter 32 and verse 1. The people assembled around about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us." As for this Moses, man, the way in which they're talking. As for this Moses, the man who brought us from the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. How they were so impatient, and now they are saying, "Come, make us a God. Make us a God." Covenant violation. The first and foremost commandment that God gave in Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other God before me. You shall not make or carve any idol. You cannot, you should not make a God. And what did they do? They violated the covenant of God. It is a conditional covenant, remember? It is a conditional covenant that God said. And here they violated, they said, "Let us have a God for ourselves. Let us make a God." And what did Aaron do? He wanted to satisfy people. He wanted to satisfy people. He said, "Tear off the gold rings which are in your ears, wives, get all of them, all the gold that you got and all that. Get it." And they took them off. And verse 4, he makes a molten calf. And you know what he says? "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." He's still talking about God, but he's referring to that golden calf and saying, "This is your God." They know that they have come out of the land of Egypt. They're not denying that. But they're attributing to a God that they made out of their own hands instead of attributing to the God who made these people. They still had Egypt in their heart. God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, but God had to take Egypt out of the people of Israel. Do you see the difference?
People of Israel came out of Egypt, but the Egypt was still in their hearts. God had to take Egypt out of the people of Israel. They were building, because Egypt is known for building all these various Molech and different kinds of gods. So they used that gold that they had, they brought, and created a god for themselves. While God is telling, use all that gold, silver, and bronze that you have brought forth to build a tabernacle for me, they already started using those to build an idol for themselves. Terrible situation. They violated it. And they built an altar in verse 5. Next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings, peace offerings. And that is when God said to Moses, "Moses, something is going on down there. You are spending time with me, wonderful. But that there's something going on. The people whom you have given responsibility for, this is what is happening. Go down at once. Enough. For your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." They started making gods for themselves. Sometimes we tend to do the work, and that work might become a god for us. And say, this is the god. This is how I'm doing it. Forgetting whether I'm doing it according to the will of God or not. They're doing something. And they're saying, this is the god who brought us of the land of Egypt. Verse 8. I really, you know, when I was reading through it, I could see the heart of our God in verse 8. They have quickly turned aside from the way that I commanded them. They have quickly. All that the Lord said, we will do. Remember that covenant that they said? We will do. We do. The way in which they said, they have quickly turned aside from the way. Quickly. These small words really caught my attention. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it. We may not have a physical idol, but we may have idols in our hearts. Where our life is, first thing we get up in the morning, we think about that. Our time that we spend mostly are thinking. If it is more than that, we have our focus upon the Lord, that becomes an idol for us, let me tell you. Doesn't matter what it is. Whether it is another person in your life, whether it is your job, whether it's the work that you do, anything, any vehicle or anything that you own, your house, your property, anything that you focus more of your attention upon it, that could become an idol in your life. Watch out. God is saying, verse 9, they are stiff-necked people, obstinate people. I want to destroy them. They have violated my covenant. Moses immediately says, please, Lord, please don't. Please don't. He pleaded against God. He said, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, verse 13. And finally, God says, that's okay. I'm not going to do anything to them. Verse 15, Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets. And when he sees, verse 16, notice this tablets. Tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing, engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a sound of war. So now in between was this person who was trying to hear what was going on. And Moses lost his temper to the extent when he saw these people worshipping the golden calf, he could not bear it, my dear. That is how a man of God should be. You cannot bear the things that are happening in this world that are against the commandment of God. But he was little quite enraged. He was a man who was quite enraged at that moment of time. While God was enraged, Moses said, God, please. But when Moses saw these people, he got so enraged, he took the two tablets of stone, threw it down and shattered them. And he told these people, he took that molten calf, he shattered that molten calf, made it into powder,
threw it in the water and told people to drink from that water, and people died, and many, many situations have happened. It was a terrible incident that happened in verse chapter 32 because they violated the covenant of God. There is a consequence to the violation of the covenant of God. And we see people died. People died. And we see here, Moses returned to the Lord in verse 31. Chapter 32, verse 31, he returned to the Lord and said, "Alas, my people have committed a great sin. They have made a god of gold for themselves. But now if you will forgive their sin, if not, please blot me out of your book which you have written. Take my life. That's okay." That's what he was telling. And then God says in verse 34, the Lord spoke to me. He confirmed to me, just as he had confirmed to Moses when I was meditating on this verse. He says in verse 34, "But go now, lead the people where I told you." Go now, lead the people where I told you. In spite of the discouragement that Moses was going through, with the kind of people that Moses had to deal with, God had to encourage Moses. God had to once again command Moses, "Go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you." What a wonderful God it is. And God stopped me and said, "This is for you. I want you to be able to be encouraged from the word of God. You might see the things that are happening outside, but may you be encouraged. I will send my angel before you. It is not you, my dear. It is my angel who will go before you." Remember what we have meditated earlier? The angel of God will go before you. In chapter 33, we see here that there is one incident that has happened. Quickly, let us move on to chapter 33. Please note it down. Chapter 33, you need to go up here. The glory of the Lord on the rock. Glory of the Lord on the mountain, chapter 24. Glory of the Lord on the rock, chapter 33. We see here that Moses had a tent. He took his tent outside the camp and he used to spend time with God. And whenever Moses spent time with God, people used to see that there was a pillar of cloud on Moses' own tent, his own tent. That is what it says in verse 7. He used to go to his tent. But that tent got changed later to a tent which is going to be inside the camp, not outside the camp. He used to spend time, and he used to spend time with God because he knew that God was going to use him. And we see here that Moses said to the Lord in verse 12, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Verse 12. How open Moses was. Why was he open with God? Verse 11, notice this. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, meaning not real physical face to face, but kind of the way in which they used to interact with each other, just as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. He used to stay inside. He used to have a lingering moments inside, but Moses used to spend time with God as a friend used to speak. So he speaks to God saying that, "You said you will send me. I have known you by name, but how do I know who is going to come with me? You have not let me know whom you will send with me." He was asking God. And then, I'm just trying to fast forward here. He says, verse 15, Moses says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up there. How can we go if you are not going to come? Is it not by your going with us so that," verse 16, "is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people may be distinguished from the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" Distinguished people are those who go with the presence of the Lord. Verse 16, very important verse. "Is it not by your going with us that I and your people may be distinguished from the other people who are on the face of the earth?" We need to be distinguished people. You cannot be just like your colleagues who are unbelievers or your neighbors who are unbelievers. You and I need to be distinguished people. Why? We are distinguished people because God's presence is going with us. If your presence is not going to go with us, we are not going to go. That is how he said. How many times we go ahead of God? God, I'm going to go here. I mean, I don't have patience. You come with me, Lord. No. If you are not going to go with us, we are not going to go. What a wonderful way it is. Sometimes we are in a hurry. I want to get things done. Sometimes even for the work of God, we hurry. We don't wait for the will of God. The timing of God. We think, oh, Bible says so, I will do it. But did God tell you to do that in that time? Very important. Important spiritual lessons I've been learning, and I thought I'll share with you. If God's presence is not going to go in that direction, better not go in that direction. That is how you and I will be distinguished people. Verse 18, Moses said, I pray you show me your glory, the glory of the Lord. God says, you cannot see my face. I'll pass my goodness before you. Verse 19, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you. I will not turn away from doing them good. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 40. His goodness is what his glory is. When there is a glory of God, his presence is with us and his goodness goes before us. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I will be showing compassion on whom I shall. Glory of God means to experience the goodness of God, to experience the graciousness of God, to experience the compassion of God. And then he says that he's the one who is going to pass by in verse 22. You stand at the rock, at the cleft. I will cover you and my glory will pass by. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood be thy... You know, that song wonderfully, it reminds us of this particular chapter, Exodus chapter 32. Rock of ages, cleft for me. God cleft a rock, made Moses get in there, hiding in there, and let the glory of God pass by. He was standing on that rock. What a wonderful experience that is. Let's move on quickly. Chapter 34, we see that the covenant was renewed. God says, come up. Moses, come up. I am going to renew my covenant. And so, God says, you prepare two more stones. I know you were angry. You threw the stones down because you had the, you were so angry about how people are against God. It was a righteous anger, in other words. To the extent of being able to say, I'm going to give you the two tablets that I have written. I want to give you back. This time, you make the stones, bring it up. And then God says, I'm going to renew my covenant. So he renews his covenant. What a wonderful God he is. When there was a covenant violation, God let his glory appear again on the rock. And then he renews the covenant that was violated. How many times, even in our relationship, in our marriage relationships, etc. Maybe the spouse has violated something. What do we do? Ah, cut off. No. We have a God who is a gracious God, who is ready to forgive to the extent of renewing the covenant. So maybe there are some issues that are going on between husband and wife. What do? Ah, you violated the vows that we have made. Done with it. It was a conditional covenant. No. In spite of the fact that it is a conditional covenant, we have a God who is reminding us that I'm ready to renew my covenant. Even if those two tablets are broken, I want new tablets to be available. That is how he experiences it. He brings back those two tablets down. And we see here in verse 28, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. He wrote the tablets, the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So note it down. So far, at least, I have seen around 8 times Moses went up and down. In chapter 34, he goes up to the mountain and he comes down with the two tablets again. And he spends 40 days and 40 nights again
Two times he spent 40 days and 40 nights. Did you know that? Two times. The first time, the two tablets that were brought forth. And the second time, the renewal of the covenant, the two tablets that were brought forth. The second time, it is clearly mentioned that the 40 days and 40 nights, he did not eat bread or drink water. That is how he had a desire for the covenant. He went fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. For the sake of these people who are stiff-necked, obstinate people who are violating the covenant of God, Moses had to be encouraged. Moses had to be encouraged in order to be able to encourage and correct the people of Israel. And then let us quickly move on to the next one, the preparation of the tabernacle. The preparation of the tabernacle. The same tabernacle pattern that was given from 25 to 31, the same details, people prepare the tabernacle with the same dimensions as well. I don't know if you have been to the Lancaster, the biblical tabernacle. They have built the tabernacle in the same dimensions, close to the site and the sound, site and sound theaters. If you haven't been there, it is wonderful to just have a physical view of how the tabernacle is, to just get a picture of how it is. They have followed the same exact dimensions and tried to construct the tabernacle. And they followed the instructions. There were some people who were specifically given instructions. God said, Bezaliel, there's a person, a skilled craftsman, on whom the Spirit of God came upon in order to build that sanctuary. God wants to use the people whom he wants in order to be able to build his sanctuary. Not anyone. That is what we see here. If you read through this, he clearly mentions who should build, how they should build, and wonderfully we see how people have brought forth. People have brought forth everything that they had to bring. Chapter 36, verse 2. Chapter 36, verse 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill. The Lord had put skill, not self-driven. Every person, Exodus chapter 36, verse 2, the Lord has put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to work to perform it. Is the Lord stirring your heart to work for the Lord? It is not your talents, self-made, but it is God who should give that. And then people brought their contributions as well. And they brought so much so in verse 3. We see here that they come to Moses in verse 5 and say, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which the Lord has commanded us to perform. Will anyone say that nowadays? Very hard to hear some people. No, they have been bringing, oh, I want to give this to the Lord. I want to give this to the Lord. And now people are saying to Moses, we have enough. Tell them not to give any more. Enough of what we have. We rarely see such situation in our lives, whether it's churches or anywhere. Give, give, give as much as you want. Give more. We'll put more. Enough for the construction of the sanctuary. He told the people then. Moses issued a command and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contributions of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. Enough, brother. God has provided. Such is the God we have who gives us in abundance more than what is needed. Nowadays, that faith, where is that faith? Where is that faith in the God who is able to give, who is able to stir the hearts of people in order to give unto the Lord? And they build the sanctuary wonderfully. And then we see in chapter 39, they bring it to Moses and say, hey, Moses, we have completed the work. So there was a design that was provided. Requirements, design was provided by God. And then the development has happened by the people in chapter 35 to 39. And towards the last verse of chapter 39, there was testing also that has happened. Requirements, design, development, and testing also we see. Exodus chapter 39, verse 43. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it. Just as the Lord has commanded, this they had done, and so Moses blessed them. So the UAT is also done. User acceptance testing. Yes, it is done exactly how it was given. The vision that I had, it is being performed. Wonderful. preparation of the tabernacle and the testing ready. Now in chapter 40, we see they set it up, production. Production release happened in chapter 40. It went to production successfully. And the way in which it went into production was wonderful. The way in which it was set up, that the proof that we see here is in verse 34. Please note it down, the last block that we see. The glory of the Lord in the tabernacle. Glory of the Lord in the tabernacle. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because a cloud had settled on it. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Wonderful experience, my dear. If you see the glory of the Lord on the top, God's dwelling is to be able for you and I to experience the glory of God, period. The glory of God means His goodness to pass before you, His graciousness upon you, His compassion towards you. That is what the glory of God is. If God is with us, His presence is with us, what more do we need, my dear? Even in a wilderness, I can experience the glory of God. Even in a wilderness, even if you don't have anything, even if it is a dry land, God can build a tabernacle for you. And what contained in the tabernacle at a very high level? What contained in the tabernacle? I want to start from left to right, my dear. Because that is how God gave the instruction. God gave the instruction that way. He started off with Ark of the Covenant. So I want us to understand from left to right. Though people come from right to left, they write it right to left also. Hebrew is also written right to left. That is how they entered from east to west. East is on the right side. So you see here the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place or the Holy of Holies. Ark of the Covenant had the two tablets that God gave to Moses. And later on they put Aaron's rod and manna also in there. And holy place had table of showbread, the lampstand and the altar of incense, the three of them. That is a holy place where the 12 bread are kept here to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the priests eat that bread and the lampstand or the menorah, the seven things that are there. That is the only light for the entire tent. There is no other light, source of light. There's only one lamp with seven branches that had it. And the altar of incense where it was coming out as an altar of incense to be able to present it to the Lord. And that altar of incense should have the coal that comes out of the altar of sacrifice, nowhere else. You can't put any other coal there. If you put anything else other than what is put here, it is called a strange fire. Sons of Aaron put some other coal here and they died. God doesn't like strange fire. Whatever is offered at the altar of sacrifice has to be put for burning incense, period. You can't get anything. I have a better one. Let me put there. Sorry. Strange fire. Anything that is unbiblical, if it is put there in the presence of God, it is not acceptable. That is strange fire. Read through this book of Exodus. You will learn many, many wonderful things. To the extent of two sons of Aaron died because of their life. And their life also did not reflect, based on the life that they were living, the kind of offerings that they were bringing. That is what it was. It was a strange fire. So altar of sacrifice was a place where animals were burnt, offered unto God as a sacrifice for sin offering and various other things. And then the laver of water was there to wash, for the priests to wash their hands and feet before entering into the holy place. That is how God has explained the pattern of the tabernacle. But the entrance of it is always from the gate that is on the east side. Though all the people were living in all the surrounding places, they had to enter from here only. The tribe of Judah was here. Tribe of Benjamin and Ephraim and other places around. They could have said, brother, we want to directly access the Ark of the Covenant. Can we go from here itself? Can we build a... No shortcuts. Even if it takes time for you
to go around all the other camps. You have to enter from here only. Do you see that? Distance should not be a criteria. God installed people at different places. We'll look at that later on. He kept people at different locations. But the entrance is from the east side only. There's only one entrance. Don't try to create multiple entrances. Do you see that? That is how God instituted, my dear, not mine. It's not my words. God instituted that. And he put a doorway here. Not everyone can enter. Only the priests can enter. And then only the high priest can enter the Ark of the Covenant. This is what a picture we see here. If we were to draw an artist's rendition, this is how it was. The Ark of the Covenant inside the Holy of Holies. And then the three elements, the table of the showbread, lampstand, and the altar of incense. And then the bronze altar of sacrifice and bronze laver. And this is the curtains that were covered, and this is the only entrance. Just for a minute, a little more than, a little less than 2 minutes, I just want to play a video for us to be able to understand how this is, if I may, just for a few minutes.
Hey YouTube, if you want to learn more about the...
Just wanted to give you a picture as to how it would have been. Can I have the lights, please? So, point is that I want us to read from Hebrews as to how this is being fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because the whole counsel of God is mentioned even in the Old Testament. Shall we all read these two portions that I'm going to ask us to read? Shall we read this together, please? But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of the goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The same tabernacle, it was a shadow of what was going to happen when Jesus Christ was going to come into this world. He is the high priest for the good things to come, great and more perfect tabernacle with his own blood for eternal redemption. When I was reading through these key words in this verse, really made me recognize how wonderful God he is, that the tabernacle that was given to us is a shadow of what was going to happen when Jesus comes into this world. Another portion quickly, Hebrews 10, 19-22. Therefore, shall we all read this? Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I have underlined the veil, that is his flesh, and washed with pure water. We will look at it in the next last slide for today, which brings forth a comparison of the elements of the tabernacle with Jesus Christ.
If you need it, you can ask for me later or you can make a note of it. When I was meditating through each and every element here, I wish I could go from bottoms up, but that's okay. For this time, we'll go from top to down. The outer gate, the gate on the east side, Christ, the only way, the entrance to God's presence. That is how we could relate. The bronze altar, Christ, our substitute and sacrifice. The bronze laver with water, Christ, our cleansing and regeneration, washing with water. The table of showbread, Christ, the bread of life. Lampstand, Christ, the light of the world. Altar of incense, Christ, our intercessor and advocate. If you see gold overlaid on wood, acacia wood, they took the acacia wood and overlaid with gold. Wood represents the humanity of Jesus Christ, and the gold represents the divinity of Jesus Christ. And the veil that was separating the holy of holies from the most holy, from the holy place, that veil was Christ's own flesh, his body. When he died on the cross, the veil got torn so that we may have an entrance into the Holy of Holies. Not just the high priest, that great high priest, Jesus Christ, took us along into the Holy of Holies. The two tablets in the ark, Christ who fulfilled the law on our behalf. The mercy seat, which is on the Ark of the Covenant, it talks about Christ's mercy that leads us to eternal life. His mercy, not to punish us. Because of the law that is there in the Ark of the Covenant, there is a mercy seat on the top of it. And the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth in John chapter 1 and verse 14. Jesus Christ himself is the glory of God, who tabernacled among us. It says, he dwelt among us or tabernacled among us. Oh, my dear, there are many, many truths that we have learned from the tabernacle. It's ultimately the glory of the Lord. If there is no glory of the Lord, that tabernacle has no value. It is not an idol. We may gather in a place like this, but if there is no presence of the glory of God, it has no value. There was a time when there was tent, but there was no glory. Glory departed. Ichabod. So the point that is you and I need to understand is if God's presence is there, that is where we can experience the tabernacle of God. Today, we can experience God's presence amongst us. Jesus Christ fulfilled the elements of the tabernacle. We can see Christ in the tabernacle because he leads us every step of the way. May the Lord bless this word.